God is awesome, isn't he? Do you love serving the Lord? Hallelujah. I mean, really, do you love serving God? Hallelujah. Isn't it just amazing? It really is amazing. And I often think about just how God works and the ways of the Lord. And it just, it's like, you know? And it's really, really incredible how faithful God is. And it is such an honor to be called a child of God, to be known as someone who represents the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And it is, when you walk with God, he loves us so much that he just cares for us. And there is no better experience in life than walking in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God, to experience his presence all day long, the anointing of God, just abiding in him is such a powerful experience if you can discipline yourself to do it. And it's such a wonderful life if you can do it. And the key is to practice. Doctors are practicing on you. Lawyers are practicing, right? So why shouldn't we be practicing as the people of God? Practice being the person God has created us to be. What an honor it is to serve the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited today because, hallelujah, because the anointing of the Holy Ghost is stirring in the midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ever get that right? All of a sudden, you're just minding your own business, doing something, and the Holy Ghost just goes, bzz, and you're like, ooh, okay, God, yes, 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 Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, man. You know, and he's so comforting. And it happens at the times when you need it the most. And, you know, it's just wonderful, a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I don't know, it's exciting. I don't want to ramble on. But, you know, how awesome it is. And I was just thinking about that as we were talking about the iron sharpening iron. We encourage each other. We mold each other. We help each other to walk in the ways of the Spirit. We take the word of God and we apply it, but it's the atmospheric conditions that change everything. And depending on the Spirit that we're operating in, that's what you're going to get. And that's why it's so important to operate in the right Spirit. That's why the word of God says we don't have a spirit of fear or anxiety, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control or a sound mind. In other words, you're able to think things through and not just react or do things. We're able to discern our way through things. And that is what the Spirit of God will do for us so that we're not victims of circumstances. Hallelujah. You should never be a victim of a circumstance, because the Spirit of God gives us insight and direction, and he is able to move us to the right place at the right time so that we're not in the wrong place at the right time. Yeah, I think that's how it goes. Yeah. So, hallelujah. We are talking about being polished arrows, and this is a new theme for us for the month of September. Can you believe September is here already? Incredible how time is literally flying by. And here we are in September, and we'll be talking about picking up our mantle, our taking up our calling, the thing that God has called us to do, our using our gifts and our abilities and our talents and our resources in order to further the kingdom of God. And once you've taken up your mantle, God wants us to now polish our arrows. And we need to polish, we need to refine ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves and make ourselves usable for the sake of the kingdom of God. We're willing to work. We're willing to represent. We're willing to do what God has called us to do. And so God now says, I want to refine you. I want to sharpen you. I want to buff you out so that you are clean and sharp and capable and able to do what I need you to do. And you and I have to be able to cut through the darkness. We have to be able to cut through confusion. We need to cut through fear, cut through anxieties, cut through all of these things that would hinder us from accomplishing the will of God and representing the kingdom of God. And we navigate through life. We are able to handle the shifts and the turns that we have to endure in order to be effective. And so in Proverbs 27:17, our lead verse for today, it says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Hallelujah. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You and I are called to be a part of a sharpening process for each other. And as we understand that in order to sharpen something, the thing that is going to do the sharpening has to be stronger than the thing that it is sharpening. Isn't that right? So that means you need to surround yourself with sharp people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to make sure that you are in an environment that is designed to help you become more effective at being the man or woman of God that he has called us to be. So often we connect with like-minded people or people who are even less spiritual than we are. And that is unfortunate. And that is why so many stay the same. They plateau in their Christian life, in their Christian walk. It's because they fail to be sharpened. And they fail to place themselves in an environment where they can be sharpened. You see, the knives and the sharpeners often are in two different drawers. Isn't that right? You don't usually keep the sharpener and the knives in the same drawer in the kitchen. One is with the utensils that get used every once in a while, but the knives are in the place where you can have quick and easy access to them because you use them all the time. And you and I need to be in the fellowship of believers, and this is why these times are so challenging, because we don't want to stay home. We want to get to where the sharpening takes place. And it's hard to be sharpened if you're staying in the drawer. And hallelujah, hallelujah. And God has called us to be intermittent with one another. And God shields us. He covers us. He protects us. We operate in wisdom, right? And that's what the Spirit of God will do. He will navigate you. He will move you so that you can have the right navigational movements in order to avoid trouble. And this is what God does in our lives. But we don't give up and quit just because we had to avoid some trouble. We just see the hand of God giving us direction so that we can have more confidence in moving forward in God. And so iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. And so I would like to use as a theme for today, equipped for battle. Equipped for battle. Before you go into battle, you want to make sure you have all of your resources. Everything is pulled together and ready. Everything is cleaned and oiled and ready to be used. Knives are sharp and everything is in its right place. so that when your time of need arises, you can have quick access. Polished arrows. We need to be equipped for battle. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of us and that you would sharpen us and that you would equip us. Our desire is to be effective for the sake of the kingdom of God. God, our desire is to be used by you to be the witnesses that you've called us to be able to live a life of surrender and sacrifice, that we would be able to demonstrate the kingdom from which we have come from. We are not of this world, but we are of the kingdom of God. And we ask, Lord, that as the word is presented today, as you speak through us today, Lord, I ask, God, that you would speak to each and every heart, that the mind would be sharp and capable of receiving what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to each and every one of us, and that we may apply these truths however is appropriate for each of us to apply it, so that we can be effective at bringing life to those among us who are in darkness, used as the children of God to fulfill the call of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, O God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's nothing worse than finding yourself in a place and you're not prepared. You don't have a resource or a tool that you need. It's a terrible thing to find yourself with a flat tire and no jack. Hallelujah. Or you have a jack, but you can't get to it. Or it's rusted in place because it hadn't been used in so long. And now you're stuck. And there's nothing worse than finding yourself in a situation where you're standing at the counter with all of your purchases ready to receive and you realize you left your wallet at home. Hallelujah. You don't have the resources. You're not ready. You don't have what you need to have when it's time to have it. And all of a sudden, you find yourself out of sorts simply because you're not properly equipped at the time you need it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God wants us to polish our arrows. He wants us to pick up our mantle and become equipped. We are here to become equipped, and not just to sing songs and pray and read the scripture and talk about the Bible, but we're here to become equipped so that when we go out, we can be a demonstration of the people of God to this world. And so you and I are not called to just live life in a box, praising God and shouting hallelujah and believing for things and then go home. No, God has called us to go into the world and impact it. We're called to have an impact. And you can't have an impact if you're stuck in the drawer. If you find yourself a place where nobody is. And God has called us to be effective as we go out into the world. And in order for us to be effective, we must hone our skills. And as we hone our skills, we become better at what it is that God has called us to do. You and I have gifts, we have talents, we have abilities, and God wants to use them. And so, you and I must become equipped. Just because you have a knife doesn't mean you know how to chop things up properly. I don't can tell you how many people have cut their fingers trying to prepare food because they didn't know how to handle a knife properly. I remember in Boy Scouts, you had to have training before they would even allow you to use your scout pocket knife. Hallelujah. And every good scout had a really nice pocket knife. But you weren't allowed to use it unless you'd gone through the proper training, even if your mother bought it and gave it to you. They would tell you, you don't use your knife unless you had the little card that says you have been properly trained and have the right skills and understand the responsibilities of owning a knife. Hallelujah. That is being equipped. And God has called us to be equipped to represent the kingdom of God. And it reminds me of the old Spartans back in the old days. You know the story of the Spartans, the mighty, mighty Spartans. And they were these 300 men that were able to overcome and destroy armies of innumerable size. God is able to do the same. God had his 300. If you remember the story of Gideon, and God used him to rouse the enemy. In fact, Gideon didn't have to do much. He said, I'm the least in my father's house. I'm a Benjaminite. And guess what God says? The battle is not yours. I'm the one who battles. I'm the one who fights. God wants to fight for you. Hallelujah.
That was good sauce. Easy, son.
Oh, you didn't think we were going to watch the whole movie, did you? Oh, no. But you were ready, though, weren't you? Look at that. Hallelujah. Well, God wants us to be equipped for battle. He wants us to be in a position where we will be able to live and not die in the moment, in the time of need. When the situation arises, will you respond and react in faith, in strength, in wisdom, and in power so that no matter what comes against you, you are prepared? God wants to equip us. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be effective. The Spartan army was the most powerful group of men. There was only 300 of them, yet they were able to overcome all of their enemies in powerful ways. And they were world famous as a group. And you and I ought to be able to withstand the forces of the enemy, because greater is he who is with you and with me than he who is in the world. And when Christ is with you, who can be against you? God is able to do abundantly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. In Hebrews 4:10, he says, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works. as God did from his. When we are walking with God, when we are communing with God, no matter how difficult, no matter how challenging, no matter how hard the situation is, we can rest. We can have confidence in knowing that God will make a way. He will see us through. He will enable us. It is the peace of God. This is what happens when your relationship with God has been properly cultivated. It brings a sense of maturity in your life so that when difficulties come, you don't panic, but you pull back and you assess and you hear from God. The Spirit of God will speak to you and he will give you direction so that you can have confidence and peace. Because God said, move over here. And we moved over here. God said, duck down, the arrows are coming. And when the arrows are coming, God will allow them to rain all around you. This is what God is working out in our lives. He is calling us for such a time as this. This world is going through a transition, and there are things happening all around us, and people are panicking. People are worried. They are concerned. I am not really worried. I'm not really concerned because I know what the Word of God says. And I'm listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. And so I know when to move to the left, when to move to the right. And I'm able to navigate this realm pretty good because I'm able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, to us, to me. And you and I have to become skilled at this form of living. It's not the type of living the average person in the world experiences. And most people in the world, they just are doing whatever it is the government tells them to do, or they do whatever their friends tell them to do, or they do whatever the influence is, the TV or the movie screen. Whatever they see, they imitate or they mimic or they take on as a way of life, as a way of thinking. And this is the way of darkness. This is what it looks like when you do not have a sense of direction, of purpose, when you fail to understand that God has his own plan. When you are not walking with God, then you won't hear his voice. And it's very easy as a Christian to not walk with God, so you don't hear his voice. I don't expect unbelievers to act like believers. I don't expect believers to unbelievers to make decisions that would align with the kingdom of God or the kingdom that they have no knowledge or understanding of. They are operating in the realm from which they come. They are operating according to the darkness of their minds, or what the scripture would say, the futilities of their minds. And this is the way the world functions and the way the world operates. So if you allow darkness to lead you in darkness, then you will find yourself experiencing more darkness. Hallelujah. And so we need God, who represents the kingdom of light, to shine into our lives so that we can have a divine perception and perspective of what is going on around us. The voice of the Spirit of God. It is sad that so many Christians cannot hear from God. And it's not that they cannot hear from God. It's this, that they do not hear from God. And the reason they do not hear from God is because they do not walk with God. And if you do not commune with God, you will not hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. But thank God for the grace of God. Isn't that right? And the grace of God arises, and he will move you sometimes. God will give you. He'll just bump. He'll just bump you right out the way. And you go, oh. And then we go, oh, I can't believe that happened. Oh, look, this is good. And you realize, oh, thank God. Thank God I got bumped out of the way. It's a good thing you didn't stay there, because God was trying to give you direction and you weren't hearing him. So God says, let me just bump him because I need him still. Hallelujah. Aren't you good? Glad for those times? I don't know. I'm glad when those things happen. And so often, we have to get a revelation. We have to get a wake up, because we're so caught up in our own way and our own things that we miss God. We don't hear God. And when we commune with God, we begin to hear his voice. That still small voice gets louder and louder. It gets more and more clear. It becomes more of the voice that you are responsive to rather than an afterthought. And this is why in verse 11, he goes on, he says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, that place where we are able to have peace and hear from God, where we are honing our skills so that we're praying and we're saying, God, speak to me, show me, Lord, guide me, Lord, lead me, Lord, help me, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. You see, the people of God in this case, we were missing God and weren't following the way of God, the plan of God. God says, I can help you avoid trouble if you're able to be diligent. Diligence is something we all need. We're diligent at going to work. We're diligent at making sure we have food and making sure we have a place to live. We're diligent about making sure we have gas in the car. Well, maybe some of us are diligent about that. You know, all the guys are diligent about making sure that we have gas in the car, and then the wives are diligent about making sure the husbands pay for the gas to go in the car. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a tactic. I've learned that. I think there's an unspoken rule. There must be some sort of wifely driving training. See, now when you become a wife, understand it's not your responsibility to put gas in the car. Just so you know. And I think they do it really quick. They must pull them off to the side. And they say, I see you're married. Don't put gas in the car. Whatever you do, don't put gas in the car. Just wait it out. I don't know. I think it happens. So we have to be diligent. We have to be diligent about, I've been traumatized, I think. I don't know. Maybe. It's a system. One more time I get in this car and there's no gas. Right. The kingdom of God, fall on me, Spirit of the living God. So you find yourself in these places and you need to be prepared. It's always important to be diligent in the ways of the Lord, in the things of God, so that we can be effective at following him and obeying him. He says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. This is what the Spirit of God is wanting to do in our lives. This is why we meditate on the word of God. The word of God, as we meditate on it, it becomes a part of our programming, of our way of thinking, and we begin to respond, even without thinking about it, instinctively, based on the word of God, the washing of the word, the renewing of the word. It is alive. Did you know that the word of God is alive? It is active. Words have power in them. When you speak words, they cause things to happen. They cause things to shift. It changes atmospherically. Hallelujah. It changes the way people feel. Just say the right word, and they'll feel good. You say the wrong word, and they'll feel bad. Isn't that right? Or they'll feel angry, or they won't want to talk to you, or they will feel a certain way. Why? Because words have power in them, and depending on how you use your words, it will determine the results that will impact the people. And it's all working in the Spirit. The Spirit is where these things are going to work. And that is why we need the Holy Spirit to guard us against words. Because of what people say and what they do, we have to be able to be guarded. The Word of God says that His Word is active. That means it's doing something. It's always working. And even after the fact, it's hanging on. You ever speak to someone and you think that, well, they didn't listen. They just didn't hear me. Well, God says, my word doesn't return void. Or it will accomplish its purpose. And God says, my word will ride them like a jockey. Can't get away from that phrase. God says, his word will ride a person like a jockey. And it will accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish. God will cause it to work itself out. It says that he's active and sharp. That means whatever is in the way, he cuts through it. He can cut through it. You and I will think, oh, I can't get through. I'm praying for a loved one. I'm praying for a family member or a coworker or a friend. I'm praying for a situation or a circumstance. And it seems like nothing is happening. God says, my word can cut through. My word will cut through. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. That means you can go one, two. Yeah, you don't have to try to cut one way and then turn it over or turn it another way. God says, no matter which way you swing it, it's cutting. And he says it's able to pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit. When you use the word of God, when you live according to the word of God, when you speak truth to people that is from the word of God, it goes right to the soul and the spirit of a person. It will bring life to a dead soul. It will quicken a spirit. And it's even able, it says, to go where the joints and the marrow are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need the word. You got bad knees. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let me speak to my knees. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me speak to my back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, heal me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, set me free. The word of God has the ability to get in there. In other words, that's figurative language. He's saying it's able to get into the joints and the marrow. It can get into the toughest places, into the places where you normally don't go in those areas. You don't go into the joints of your knees, right? Nobody's playing around in there. Says, oh yeah, you know, let me just see how my joints are doing. You ever say, nobody really says that. You don't say anything about your joints until they start hurting. And then you're like, oh, has that ever happened to you? You get that like piercing, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, well, you're not thinking about it otherwise. You're going about doing what you're doing. You're going about life. You're going about handling situations and circumstances, and then all of a sudden you get that pain. Well, the word of God is able to get in there like that pain. You and I may think it's not making sense, it's not happening, but we sow the seed of the word of God, and God says, I'll get it into the joints. Hallelujah. I will get it into the marrow of the bone. The marrow of the bone is where your blood is made, and all of your healing resources for your body that helps your circulation and make sure you're able to function, your life is able to continue on and is functional. That's the marrow of the bone. God says, I'll get you where you live at. The very thing that brings life to you. God's word can get in there. And this is why a timely word is so powerful. When you can speak the word of God to people, the truths of God to people, you're able to help them to get to a place where they're responding to the word of God, where they hear the word of God. And this is why we don't give up. This is why we persevere. And we come better and better at speaking and utilizing and teaching and sharing and encouraging people with the word of God. Our prayers are around the word of God. There's power in the word. So many people say, oh, God didn't answer my prayer. God answers prayer that is not amiss. A prayer that is amiss means it's not in line with the principles of the kingdom of God. You're praying amiss. It's not in alignment or in harmony with the word of truth. We're praying according to our emotions or according to our feelings or according to what we want and what we think. But God says you have to pray according to his word. And when you pray according to the word of God, according to the will of God, you will see the manifestations of God. It's not hocus pocus. It's not like a magic trick. It's hearing God. It's knowing what the Word of God says and applying it in your life. It's not like it's some sort of magical thing or like you got. It's not that. It's just a program that God has built in that we run. You pray, God responds. But it's out of a relationship with God. Sometimes we only pray when we have a problem. Have you ever called people when you had a problem? All right? And that's the only time you call. What are your chances of getting help? Pretty low, isn't that right? Pretty low. And so you and I are needing to cultivate a relationship with God so strong, so deeply connected that God would say, "Oh yes, how are you today, son? How are you today, daughter? How are you? What can I do for you?" And God would immediately respond. I don't think any of us want to be in the position where God is saying, who are you? Who are you? We don't want to be in that place. And so we know that we cultivate the Word of God through our relationship with God. As we spend time with Him, as we walk with Him, as we commune with Him, He will be able to make a way for us. It says in the end here that he is looking and impacting the intentions of the heart. Do you see that? And so the Word of God is living and active, and it's able to get to the intentions of the heart. God will change your heart. He will change a person's heart. All of a sudden they're cold and they're like, no, no, no. And God will massage it, and then they'll say, well, let me think about it. And then after a while, they'll say, well, you know what? Maybe we'll see what we can do. And then the next thing you know, it's like, I think, well, you know what? Maybe we'll do this or we'll try that. God has the ability to change the intentions of a heart. He can impact a heart. He can transform and renew a situation. It is just our responsibility to wait on the Lord and to trust in God. And not lose confidence, not become fearful and worried, and not to find ourselves where we're panicking and trying to, we're trusting in God the whole way through. God wants to make a way. It says there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There's no hiding from God, nobody. There is no situation that's beyond God, that's above God. God can impact any and every situation. All you need to do is cultivate your relationship with God and call upon Him and allow the Word of God to speak into the situation. God will tell you what to do. The Spirit of God will tell you what to say. And you will be able to overcome whatever the situation is. In Isaiah 49, 1-7, he says, "Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, He named me." You see, when you were born into the Spartan, I guess it's a culture, the men were automatically raised up as warriors. And you and I, when you're born again, are automatically to be raised up as warriors. You see, there is a battle going on in the world all around us. There is warfare going on all around us. There is a fight for the souls of men. And you and I are able to navigate through this life experience with this understanding. And if you go through life not realizing that this is about souls, life is about souls. You see, God, He is trying to redeem the earth. He's trying to restore all that He created back to His original plan and design. What Adam and Eve had in the garden and the experiences that God originally intended for man and is still holding to, by the way. It's not like his plan was thwarted. Oh, that Adam, he ruined everything. No, No, God says, I knew this was going to happen, and I'm ready for it. And so God is working out his plan. And God is not just haphazardly, you know, trying to play whack-a-mole with what the people in the world are doing. He's not going through time and history doing that. What God is actually doing is working out his plan. He has a design, and he's running a formal program, and then he has caused or spoken things into existence so that they function and operate a specific way. And when you understand what God has said and what he's doing, then you can actually work in synchronous harmony with the program and the plan of God so that you can have a divine experience. You see, this is why revelation is so important. You and I need a revelation from God. We need to be able to hear, and we need to follow. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. This is a principle that we're going through our day and we're doing what we do, but when God speaks, we hear his voice and we do what God says. And we don't always understand why and what of the situation, but if we immediately obey, we will come out ahead. We will find ourselves in the place where we need to be. This is why the word of God says, I have called you to be the head and not the tail. But not everybody is the head. It's those who hear his voice and follow him. That's how you become the head. You will be the tail, and even worse, somewhere in between, getting whipped around as whatever is going on is going on, simply because you can't hear the voice of God, because you don't recognize the call of the Spirit of the Lord. And when God is moving, and so many people don't hear the call of God. They cannot hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And sometimes you have to hear beyond what you hear. Say that again. You have to hear beyond what you hear. And when you hear beyond what you hear, you enter into a place of the Spirit so that God is able to get through to you. Hallelujah. And that is why we cultivate a relationship. We are practicing. We are trained, being trained up in the ways of the Lord. You cannot just get saved and just say, I believe, and now just go through life the same way you always would go through life. Only difference is now I'm a Christian and now I believe all these things. No, now you need to be trained in the ways of the kingdom of God and of the realm of the Spirit. There is a spirit realm where God is from. God is spirit. Isn't that right? And God, everything that we know was done or created or established as the result of what God said in the spirit realm. And all of this came into creation. God spoke and it was all created. If you forget how things work, you will not realize the importance of what you're saying and what you're doing so that you'll find yourself in a place of liberty. A lot of people think their own selves into bondage. They just continually think the things that lead to bondage. And then they wonder why they're depressed. And then they wonder why they feel like they don't have any energy, or they don't feel like they can do anything. They don't want to, I don't even know, I can't even get out of my house. I can't even look at myself in the mirror. God says you're a new creation in Christ. You cannot ignore the fact that Jesus has called us new creations. If you're a new creation, that means the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Wait, I think he said that. It's not just trivia. It's not just something that you say. It's not just a phrase. It's a reality. There is a realm of the Spirit of God that we are unfamiliar with, and God is trying to help us to bridge the gap between the two. He's trying to get us to understand that the Spirit of God and the spirit of man has been redeemed through Christ. And now you are able to operate in God's realm and sphere of existence as you live in the earth. And so now we're able to operate in the strength of God, the impartations of God. And that's what the scripture is all about. That's the whole picture of the Israelites. And God is doing everything for them. God is doing, all they're doing is complaining going through the wilderness. Well, we don't have enough to eat. Well, we don't have enough to drink. Well, you know, I don't know. And they just want to complain. We want to go back. We want to go back to Egypt. Wait, you want to go back to bondage and slavery? And you want to go back to all that? Those problems that you had? You want to go back. There was a revolution in the midst of the Israelites by Korah and a bunch of people who rose up, hundreds and thousands of them, and said, we want to go back to Egypt. Now, we look back and we say, that's just stupid. I wouldn't do that. But I guarantee you, there are a lot of people sitting in churches today that would have been a part of that group of Korahs. And they are the same people who would say, I would never, that would not be, I don't know, I can't believe. And yet we have Korahs among us all the time. We have Korahs among us all the time. And saints of God, we have to learn how to trust God. How to not just trust God, not just to believe in God, not just to say we're looking to God, but to actually cultivate a relationship where the Spirit of God and the world that you are living in, your world, come together. And when they come together, God imparts something to us. He enables us. He strengthens us so that what's impossible for somebody else is doable for us, because we are not the ones doing it. God is doing the work. God is fighting for us. God is making a way for us. God is opening up doors. And when something blocks this way, God opens the door that way. And when something shuts down over here, God says, climb out the window. Hallelujah. And you go, but God, it's too high, I'm going to fall. And you step out, and go out there, and God has some way that you float on down. God will do the impossible in your life. It all depends on your mentality and whether or not you are trusting God in the application of his word. Whether or not we are cultivating that relationship with God, not just being religious. There are a lot of religious people. They have all the facts. Like, they went to school and they've learned it. They got check, check, check. I know that. They can pass the test. You can give them a quiz. They can answer all the questions. They got all that stuff. But when you watch their lives, that's the real test. And now you see whether there is faith, whether there is hope, or whether there is life, whether all of these things that the Word of God has called us to do, to experience, to live out, whether or not that manifests, because that is the evidence of where you really are. And so God is calling us to pay attention. It says, pay attention, you people from afar. The Lord has called you from your womb. Know that God is calling you. You have a purpose. You have a reason for being here, for being where you are, in the place that you are. People say, well, you know, I'm going to move out of New York. It's getting too expensive. All this is happening, and that's going on, and all the liberals, and all the this, and the that, and da, 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 da. And you know what? I say, if God wasn't God, then I would be worried about it. But God is God. And if God called you here, he's going to supply your every need. He's going to make a way, even when it seems impossible. He's going to open doors. He's going to cause all things to work together for good if you're called according to his purpose. That is the key. You know, we know people always quoting it. Well, you know, God works all things together for good. Yeah, but you got to be operating according to his purpose. You can't be operating according to your own purpose, according to what you feel, not according to what you think. Yeah, this is about God and God's plan. So you have to operate according to his purpose. And when you're operating out of a concern, out of a heart for what is God calling me to do, then all things work together for good. Hallelujah. And this is a divine principle. It is from the kingdom of God. In the world, they say, well, I don't feel good today. I don't think I'll be doing that. And God says, rise up on your way. You will be healed. Hallelujah. You will be strengthened. You will be imparted. You will experience deliverance. You will see the hand of God. Hallelujah. The majority of the people that Jesus healed, they all ended up having to do something that demonstrated their faithfulness to God. It didn't matter whether it was the man who came through the roof, or whether it was the man at the pool of Bethesda, or whether it was the blind man who he put the spit on his eyes and said, go dip seven times. There was always some responsibility of the people to testify of their faith in God. You see, God is calling us to be witnesses. He's calling us to be the people of God, and not to just believe we are. He says, be the people of God. No, he's not asking you, do you believe? He's asking you, do you do? Do you do? Or do you live out your belief, your faith? And so we pay attention. The Lord has called you. He knows who you are, and he's raising you up. He knew that you were going to surrender your heart. He knew that you were going to give your life and be wanting to serve him and to do so. Once you were born in, like the Spartans, God is trying to train you up. Don't resist your training, saints of God. Don't resist the training that God is bringing you through. Life is filled with various courses and training experiences as you have various forms of conflict. You ever wonder why you have so many problems in your life? You ever pray and say, God, it seems like there's one problem after another. You ever wonder why? That's your training. And God says, well, you got mad last time. I want to see if you still get mad. Well, last time you cussed and swore and you got all kinds of problems. So, you know, we'll see if you keep doing that. You know, if you don't pass the test, you don't move on to the next grade, right? Isn't that right? You know, if you don't pass the test, you don't go to the next grade. So you're going to have to keep going through that experience over again until you learn. You say, well, I'm not going to that church anymore. Well, guess what? You'll have that experience wherever you go. You go down to that church, it's going to be waiting for you. That same experience is going to be waiting for you. Oh, the faces will change, but you're going to deal with the same thing again. And you're going to find it, you say, oh, I'm quitting that job. You're going to quit that job, you're going to go to another job, and you're going to find the same problem on that job. And it doesn't matter where you go. You say, I'm quitting this family, I'm going to start a new family. And you can do that, and you're going to find the same problem where you go. Isn't that right? That's exactly what the statistics show. Hallelujah. And so, saints of God, you cannot run from God. You cannot hide from God. And God is trying to sharpen you. God is trying to mold you and help you to overcome. God has called us to sharpen each other. And that's why we irritate each other so much, because we all have a lot to learn. And God is trying to mold us and shape us. If you're in a place where nobody bothers you, you're in the wrong place. Hallelujah. You get somewhere where people get on your nerves, where people bother you. Then you know you're home. Hallelujah. 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 But you'll never know if you don't get involved. Isn't that right? Everything is great when you just come in, sit for a service, and leave. Everything is wonderful, or whatever it is what you got at home, whatever that leads you to. But I tell you, when you get connected, God begins to sharpen you. He begins to enable us. In verse 2 of Isaiah 49, he says, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. He has concealed me, and he has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. Saints of God, you and I are made like a select arrow. And in the quiver, well, there's a whole lot of other arrows, isn't that right? Hallelujah. There's a lot of arrows in the quiver. And you and I are part of the body. We're part of the church. We're a part of a family. We're a part of a group of people on a job working together for a particular purpose in a company. And we're in various types of quivers wherever we go. And God is saying that you need to be sharp when you're there. You need to be sharp. You need the word of God operating in you so that you don't get mad. Ooh, stop touching me. Oh, don't. Oh, ow, you cutting me. Oh, you know, ooh, ooh, that arrow's dirty. Ooh, what happened to you? Why are you in here? Why is he in here with us? He's dirty. He must have been used for something. God says, mm-mm. He says, we're in the quiver. And God says, I'm going to sharpen you so that I'm going to reach in and I'm going to pull out an arrow, and it might be you. And I am going to use it to accomplish its purpose. And God will enable you. He will help you. The arrow can be used as offensive or defensive weapons. But you and I are representing the kingdom of God. We are a weapon against the kingdom of darkness. We are weapons against the kingdom of darkness. And God wants to use us to bring down the enemy. Hallelujah. It's God who pulls the arrow and fires it. The arrow's job is to fly and land wherever it was pointed. And when you get there, now God says, it's going to work. You represent the kingdom of God. God placed you in the family you're in. He placed you on the job that you're in. He placed you in our church. And we are connected together. And it's our responsibility to become sharpened. And we sharpen each other. We help each other. We build each other up. And you and I are able to accomplish the will of God and the things of God. He said to me in verse 3, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. God wants to show his glory through you. God wants you to reflect the kingdom of God. He says, but I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. And yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord. And my reward is with my God. Hallelujah. The saints of God, you may endure hardship. You may endure troubles and issues and problems as you go through life. But you can trust and know for sure that God is your justice. God is your reward. He is with you. God will fight for you. He will be your covering. When the arrows are coming in and it's overwhelming, God says, posture yourself with the shield of faith. He says, come on, trust in me, wait on me, and God will be your covering. He will be your shelter. You will be able to run into him and be safe. But you got to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. You got to be able to hear the call when they say, take cover. You got to take cover. No, you can't miss out when God speaks and find yourself under the rain of the arrows coming down. In verse 5, he says, now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. Hallelujah. You see, saints of God, God wants to be your strength. In other words, when you can't, when you're running out, God rises up in you and he enables you. Your spirit comes alive. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, he gets into the joints and the marrow of your bone and produces life and the ability to accomplish whatever it is he's calling you to do. You are not living life on your own, but you ought to live life in the strength of God, that you would be able to be honored before the Lord, that God would honor you. He would be grateful for you. He says, oh, you're a usable vessel. You're someone I can trust in. God wants to use you. He's formed you from the womb for a purpose, not just for nothing. He says in verse 6, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. You see, God is calling us to have a worldwide impact as the people of God. Everywhere you go, you represent the kingdom of God. Don't become somebody who nobody knows you're a Christian. Nobody knows you're saved. Nobody knows you are walking with God. Everybody ought to know you're a man of God. Everybody ought to know you're a woman of God. You ought not be hiding this fact from people. You need to rise up in the power of the Spirit of God. And God will give you wisdom. He will give you the words to say. He will put something on your heart. You may not even know what to say. Just open your mouth and go, da, and God will cause something to start to come out. God will use you. God will work through you. You will become a light to the nations so that his salvation will reach to the end of the earth. This is your purpose. This is what God is wanting to do. We bring healing and restoration to the world. Verse 7 says, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see and arise. Princes will also bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Hallelujah. God has chosen you and I to be where we are. We're where we are. We're interacting with the people that we are because God has chosen us to do so. Never forget who you are. Hear the voice of God. Become refined. Become sharpened. Interact with other people that God is actually building up and raising up and that are effective. They have a testimony. They have a story of effectiveness. You see the evidence of godliness in themselves, in their lives, in their children, in their families. You always got to look beyond the person and look at the environment that they're impacting, because that will tell you their effectiveness as a child of God, as a Christian witness. If everybody around them is worldly and secular, you know they're not having an impact. If their kids are wayward and wild, then you know something is not right with the way they're operating in their home. And then you see the signs all around them. They can't keep a job. They go from one job to the next, to the next, to the next. Then you know, well, something is not right in that person's life. I'm not following that person. I'm not connecting with that person. You and I have to have wisdom so that we're operating in the power of the Spirit of God. You and I have to operate according to the call of God, hearing his voice and following him, looking for the fruit or the evidences of the Spirit at work in our lives, in and around us. Hallelujah. You need help with your kids? Get with a family that's doing a good job at it. Look for the results. You got troubles in your relationship with your husbands and wives, connect with people who have good relationships. And you have to be able to see and discern so that you can be sharpened. You can't sit at home and think you're going to be sharpened. You will not. You can't hang around with the same little group of people and think you're going to be sharpened. You're not. You're just going to be like them, which you probably already are like them. You don't want to be like them, but you are like them because that's all you've been around. And so you got to move around. This is why people pay a lot of money to go to fancy colleges. It's not that they can't get an education somewhere. It's the fact that they want to put their kids in an environment with other highfalutin people. That's exactly what's happening. And it's about the connections. And so you have to understand that is a divine principle. And if you hang around dummies, my father used to say, you will become a dummy. Hallelujah. And that's why we have to be wise as the people of God and put ourselves in an atmosphere where we can become like God, like Christ, like Jesus. I don't understand people who spend time around people who are ungodly and unreasonable, and then they claim to be Christians. How is that possible? If you're a Christian, it would seem like you want to get out of that situation. You'd be trying to redeem people. You try to be pulling people out. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. 2 Samuel 22, 1-4, it says, David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And so this is the psalm that David sang when he had victory. Notice what David says. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but we're going to skip through it. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." That's the first thing he said. Saints of God, you and I need to learn this right away. No matter what your situation is, God is your rock. He is your fortress, and he is your deliverer. Hallelujah. He says, "My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge." You see that? He says, "I hide in God. I hide in God. When things go wrong or things don't seem right, I hide in God until I figure it out." And you and I have to learn how to hide in God until we figure it out. He is our refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is the one who is able to be your covering. When trouble is coming, all you have to do is hide under the shield. You hide under the shield and you say, "Ah, ha, 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 ha." Why? Because your shield is covering you. God is your refuge and your shield. He is your stronghold and your refuge. He is your savior, and he will save you from violence. Hallelujah. He will keep you under his covering. God is able. He said, "I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Hallelujah. Saints of God, you too can be saved from your enemies, from the troublemakers, from your problems. Sometimes it's Satan himself. He is at work in the midst. You need to be saved from all your enemies. God is able. Hallelujah. All you have to do is call upon the Lord. You call upon the Lord. And notice he doesn't just call upon the Lord, but he praises him as he calls. Hallelujah. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to say he's worthy to be praised. That means he incorporates praise in the call of God. And that is why Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's praise and worship God. Said, don't just come in with a list asking God to do stuff. Says you worship God in the process. You acknowledge him. You come into his presence in his glory and the reign of the kingdom of his power and all that he is. And you honor him. You lift him up. You exalt his name. And he will save you from your enemies. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in verse 7, he says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry for help came to his ears." God responds to those who have a relationship with him, who have been cultivated in him. It says, "The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice." Hallelujah. And finally, he said, "And he sent our arrows and scattered them, lightning, and routed them." In other words, it says that when they fired the arrows, God directed them where they needed to be so that they would be effective. Hallelujah. God will direct you so you can be effective when you represent the kingdom of God. When you speak words to try to minister to someone, to try to help someone, to try to represent the kingdom of God, you may not understand or know what to say. You may not have all the answers, but whatever God gives you to say, he will route it so that it can get to where it needs to be. Sometimes it's the joint. Sometimes it's the marrow of the bone. Sometimes it's between the spirit and the soul. But God will get it where it needs to go so that it can have an impact. And God will bring your life to a place of effectiveness. Isaiah 54:13 says, "All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great." It doesn't say they might be. It doesn't say they could be or they should be. It says they will be. Saints of God, when you raise up your children in the ways of the Lord, not just by talking and telling them what to do, but by being an example, letting them see what it means to have a relationship with God, to testify of the things of God, to worship God, to praise God, to see him, you ought to be jumping high so your kids can at least get their feet up in the air. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're not jumping, don't expect your kids to jump. You're not shouting, don't expect your kids to shout. You're not praising, don't expect your kids to praise. They're going to do whatever you do. And you better be doing it at home, because that's where it counts the most. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so God says, when you are operating according to his principle, you will be effective. It says in verse 14, in righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is providing for us. He is making a way for us. He is causing all things to work together as he makes us equipped for the battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down in your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. It's like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes you come alive. Living water that brings a dead to life. Whoa, 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 we're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray. Let's get washed by the water, washed by the water. We'll rise up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river. We'll be changed. Let's go down, down, down to the river. Never the same.
You are being sharpened as you are operating in the kingdom's work of God, and that you are becoming more and more refined as you are hearing his voice and following him, that you are gaining strength, and that you are being enabled by the Spirit of the Lord. He is your covering. He is your shield. Learn how to work the resources and the tools that God has given you so that you can be mighty to advance the kingdom of God. And the Lord, he will fight for you. He will make a way for you. He is able to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine because of who you are as a mighty child of God. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word today. And I pray, God, that you would enable us and make a way for us. Lord, show yourself. Prove yourself again and again and again that the will of God may be accomplished in our lives, that we might become more and more of the people that you have designed us to be, the people of God, people from the kingdom of God, the realm of the Spirit of the Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us, God, and give us the ability to persevere and do what the will of the Lord is. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. And God bless you as you go. And we thank you so much for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bring it in the tops. Verse number 2. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it move.
Hallelujah.
In my own eyes. Took me from dusty roads into paradise. All of my shame, down in his trees, that elevate me more.